This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
A couple days ago, we celebrated Thanksgiving, and I ran across a story in the Epoch Times that Josh Phillip wrote. The story was entitled Learning to Live Again After Black Hawk Down. It's a true story. It focuses on a SEAL team, primarily one of the individuals by the name of Howard Wasman. These are good people. We want to talk a little bit here about conflict outside of the United States. There is some good to it. I agree with most of our listeners. I certainly agree with Congressman Paul when he says we don't need to be in a lot of places. But let's talk about that. But let's talk about the good side of it from your opinion, Josh.
Right. So I would say it's mixed. There's no sweeping definition of right and wrong when it comes to war, in my opinion. Some are fully justified. Some are totally unjustified.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, the fights against the spread of communism were very much justified, although I'm sure a lot of people would disagree with me. I think war in, the Korean War, the war in Vietnam, I think those were very much justified, although there were some wrongdoings on the part of the United States, of course. There were some war crimes in Vietnam. I think overall, if you look at what happened after the fall of South Vietnam, when they had the boat people crisis and so on, and on that note, too, if you look at the difference between South Korea and North Korea being the democratic part of Korea that the United States helped create, look at the quality of life there compared to North Korea, I would say that it was very much justified. If the United States can succeed in stabilizing a country, I'd say it's very much justified. But at the same time, of course, we know that it hasn't always worked that way.
Right? No, it doesn't always work that way. I have some kind of interesting thoughts probably that aren't in total agreement with what you're saying about both Korea and certainly Vietnam. But again, that's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this is to be thankful for many of the men and women who wear our uniform. Let's talk about the good side. Let's take it away from the political level. Let's take it away from the argumentative level, for lack of better terms. Let's talk about this guy Howard and his team and what they did with the people, specifically the children, where they were stationed.
Right. So Howard Wasden, he wrote a New York Times best-selling book called SEAL Team 6. He was a Navy SEAL Team 2 and then later SEAL Team 6. He was in the Black Hawk Down incident in Somalia, which was the focus of the article I did. Basically, they were there. Long story short, there was an Al-Qaeda-backed warlord who was, there were warring factions in Somalia. There was a massive famine. People were starving to death. United Nations and the U.S. stepped in to provide aid. One of these warlords, the one backed by Al-Qaeda at the time, notably before Al-Qaeda was really a well-known name, they were attacking convoys, preventing food from going to people, seizing the food for their own troops and so on. And so Howard and his guys had to go in there to try to ensure that food could get to people who needed it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, I'm sure, knows the story of Black Hawk Down, the way that ended. But Howard wrote about in his book some of the work they did. There was one story, for example, where they're sitting in their CIA safe house, and they just smell this awful smell, he was saying, and kind of wondering where it was coming from. And they found this smell would kind of come out every night.
And you're talking
about... So one day
You're talking about the Pasha safe house in Mogadishu, right?
That's right.
Okay.
So, one night they're like, okay, we need to figure out where this is coming from because something's not right. They find that it's one of the local children. So the warlord, they would put out landmines to to maim the kids, because the theory was, if you can, you know, maim them while they're young, you won't have to fight them when they're adults. So the poor kid had one of his feet blown off and the other foot severely injured. No way of getting medicine or treating it. And so basically, it was severely infected and smelled to the point that his family had to bring him outside every night so they could sleep in the house. And Wasden, you know, made a call to see if they could get permission to basically compromise the safe house and save this kid's life. And orders came down, said, no, your priority is the safe house. So kind of, you know, bites the bullet, so to speak, and says, all right. And then a couple nights later, he starts hearing the child's death moans, right? Now, Wasden, he was abused as a child, pretty severely, actually. And so this kind of hit a chord with him. And he just said, you know what? Orders, no orders. They can say whatever they want. I'm going to go save that kid's life. And so he got the SEALs together. He got their gear. They, of course, didn't know if that house was run by enemy fighters or not, especially because there was a kid there injured. You know, they didn't know the whole story at that time. So they go in there. They do it like any kind of clearing raid. They have to, you know, zip tie everyone's hands or whatever, and basically go and treat the kid. They didn't have a translator, so it was a little scary for the family at first. They do the same thing again the next night, and then the third night they skip so that they don't develop a pattern. Then the fourth night they go there, and the family's there waiting for them, and eventually the family starts bringing them tea. They started getting to know them. They brought a translator, saved the kid's leg, saved his life, scrubbed off the infection. You know, it really changed the environment there from what he was saying. They had people touching their hearts and touching their foreheads, and, you know, they had a translator. They would tell them that they regarded these men as America, right? They said, you know, it changed the whole perception of the United States. It said, we know you're here to help us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of the unseen side of a lot of these conflicts. It's true that I think at a political level, there are sometimes other intentions in a war. What do I get out of it mentality sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also a lot of people who, especially among our service members, who really believe that in helping other people. They really do believe that they are, you know, saving people from, you know, dictators and, you know, warlords who are oftentimes launching genocides or, you know, raiding villages and killing off everyone. And, I mean, real horror stories of what takes place in some of these countries. The focus always falls on the slip-ups of the troops.
Mm-hmm.
They might, you know, they capture a warlord or some mass murderer and they beat him up. And the scandal is they beat up this guy, not that, you know, the guy murdered a whole family or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's two sides to all these issues. I think that a lot of these men and women, they're really good people, you know.
Well, we have a guest on our show, Cade, who is he's a retired SEAL also, a very interesting guy, and he strikes me as being a very good person. We had Harlan Ullman on the show, I believe it was a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to get him back on. He's a brilliant author, very politically savvy, and he would disagree about many of the conflicts that the United States has been involved in. That's not what we're talking about here, whether you agree or disagree. The fact of the matter is, it is reality. And I don't know about you folks out there, but I have to say, I am very thankful, and mentioned that at our Thanksgiving dinner, for our troops who are good people. All they're trying to do in reality is help. And I'm going to tell you, Wasden's book is definitely on my list to start reading very, very soon. I'll also put up a picture of the book on the site so if you guys have any interest, you can read it. You know, Joshua, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Are you retired or facing retirement and you're afraid your income is going to be less than you'd like? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and I want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current schedule, creating extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
I've got one of my favorite editors slash reporters on the line with me right now, and that is Charlotte Cuthbertson from the Epoch Times. Charlotte, you wrote a very interesting article in the latest edition of the Times that I got. It was on immigration, obviously. That's one of your specialties. The title of the article is, "As Families Mourn the Loss of Loved Ones, They Fight Lacks immigration policies. Groups for victims of crimes committed by illegal immigrants gain momentum under the Trump administration. About time, Charlotte. Tell us about what's going on.
I've mostly spoken to parents of children who have been killed by illegal aliens, and they sort of feel somewhat relief that their voice is finally being heard, and they feel that Trump is really trying to do right by them and by all of America by trying to get criminals out of the country because these crimes are preventable. And I think that's one of the things that is really difficult for these parents, is these people weren't meant to be in the country in the first place, and a lot of them have records of coming back in and being deported and then coming back in and being deported, or being let go from a county jail that has a sanctuary policy and then committing another crime. So the whole preventable side of things really sort of eats away at them, I think, and that's why they fight so hard now.
Well, here's a really interesting little comment about sanctuary cities. The acting director of ICE, Tom Hossman, said that as of July 31st of this year, almost 10,000 criminal aliens who have been released onto the streets rather than being turned over to ICE have committed another crime. Immigration,
right,
Customs.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, that's got to stop. I mean, what the hell are people thinking about? It's just begging for more trouble.
Right, but you have California, which just voted to become a sanctuary state. And, of course, Tom Homan from ICE is very outspoken against sanctuary cities because his agents can't even get into the county jails to speak to a person of interest, or are not communicated to let them know, hey, look, we've got this murderer in here. He's not meant to be in the country. We have to release him in the next 48 hours. Can ICE pick him up? They don't even do that. So they're just releasing them back out onto the streets. ICE has to then try and find them, which, of course, is often a needle in a haystack. And the recidivism rate is extremely high.
Yeah, I bet it is. Well, what direction is McConnell's actions right now, Mitch McConnell's actions along this? I mean, something simply has to be done, Charlotte.
Right, and, you know, these bills, Kate's Law, No Sanctuary for Criminals Act, there were three bills that, you know, passed the House and are sitting on his desk right now. It's up to him to bring them to the Senate. And, you know, there's the age-old two reasons why people, politicians, want illegal immigrants in this country. One is cheap labor, and the other is votes. So I don't see, you know, any other reason. I don't see any reason, but of course the politicians, they, you know, they want votes and they want cheap labor, I guess.
Well, cheap labor is one thing, but common sense is entirely a different thing. You know, I have, living in the Northwest, my experience with Mexicans has been, Mexican people, I guess to be perfectly correct here, I have to say, has been pretty positive. They're pretty decent people. They're really hard workers. Fact of the matter is, unfortunately, they are breaking the law. You know, I want to read just a couple of paragraphs from this article, because this shows you how bad it really is. Quote, Louise Graham Swallow, in 93, was raped and sodomized and beaten in her own bedroom in Omaha, Nebraska in 2013. She died 4 days later. The attack was carried out by Mexican national Sergio Perez, 18, who had been deported twice previously. I mean, I know the left envisions themselves as caring about humanity, being do-gooders, etc., etc., but boy, I'd sure like to see somebody, you know, come into my court if I broke a law and didn't really have to pay the consequences. That just makes absolutely no sense, Charlotte. So you're obviously very, very intrigued for the same reason that I have a tremendous interest in this particular issue of lax immigration policies, breaking the law is okay. Where do you think this thing is going to go? Are we ever going to come to a conclusion?
That's a tough one. It's, you know, this has been going on for years and years and years under different administrations, and so it's extremely entrenched right now. I think Trump's really trying to turn it around, but it's going to take a while because, you know, you've got one side saying, you know, we're going to give free lawyers to illegal immigrants who are in deportation proceedings. So, you know, taxpayer money is now going towards keeping these people who came into the country illegally here. And then on the other side, you have these grandmother was 93 years old in her home when she was raped.
That's amazing.
I mean, you know, at some point you really got to look after Americans, I think, if you are an American in America.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, the law is the law, and I know the argument from a lot of the left is that, well, you know, this kid, Sergio, whatever the hell his name was, I hope he rots in prison, by the way. But the argument on their part is, you know, you're probably talking maybe 2%, you know, of the illegal immigrants fall into Sergio's category. Now, I have to tell you, 1 or 2% is 1 or 2% too many. You have to vet people when they come into our country. And I know that it may not seem like the politically correct thing to do, but I got to tell you, when you have people who are being killed, when you have women being raped, when you have gang violence, like the gang violence that's going on Long Island, for example, that you and I discussed a few months back, this has simply got to stop. This is not a Trump deal. This is a deal where basically the Democrats really, in my opinion, you know, the obvious reason that they're being so lax on immigration is because they soft-hearted, etc., etc. But my God, we have laws in this country. We have constitutional laws in this country for one simple reason, and that's to protect our nation. And our nation is simply internally not being protected. And I, for one, am very, very disappointed in that. You've got a new beat now, the new beat being Washington, D.C. Tell us what you're doing down there.
Right. Well, I go to the White House press briefings a few days a week, as many days as I can. So I try and sort of keep on top of what's happening there. And then I usually cover as much immigration stuff as I can, as well as the opioid crisis at the moment as well.
You know, I want to add one thing that may seem a little bit out of context here, but I think we've really made a point with illegal immigration, and that is the Epoch Times has turned into one of my favorite newspapers to read because it's become really diverse. There have been a lot of interesting articles, and they all, I have to say, in my opinion, simply are that they're of a conservative bent, but the conservative bent is what I would call wholesome conservatism. I'm going to be talking with Josh Phillip here in about two segments down. We're going to be talking about what it's like to be a Marine in the Middle East. I think that's an important story that a lot of people have to be aware of, and I think if you're not aware of that, for lack of better terms, I think you're just shortchanging yourself. We live in a great country. Let's make it greater. Charlotte Cuthbertson, always been a pleasure, always is a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Al.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, JP Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Have you ever lost your power and wanted to simply flip a switch to get the lights back on? If so, pay close attention, because huge discounts are now available in solar generators. Perfect for backup power outages and emergencies. Portable solar generators provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no dangerous fumes, and produces an endless supply of electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running secretly in your own home. Right now, get a $5,000 solar generator for just $995 while supplies last. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. GCN listeners, use coupon code GCN at checkout for this special offer. MySolarBackup.com. Use coupon code GCN. EMP protection available at an additional charge.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Two really important segments coming up here, Segment 7 and Segment 8. I've got Dr. Harlan Ullman on the line with me right now. By the way, you may hear a bit of chatter in the background from my twin grand boys. They're only a year old, so please bear with me on that one. I cannot change Thanksgiving. I do have a great studio in the house, but it's not soundproof. Having said that, Dr. Ullman, I want to talk a little bit more about your philosophy as written in your book, Anatomy of Failure. I want to talk about U.S. involvement overseas, and I want to talk about the following instances and any others you'd want to bring up. I want to talk about Korea, Vietnam, Beirut, Grenada, the Iran-Contra affair, Kuwait, Somalia, and Kosovo. You would maintain, and I agree with you, as do 100% of our listeners, I have to say, that most of these actions, if not all of them, represented ineffective negative actions on the part of the United States. Am I correct in making that statement?
Yes.
Okay, let's start with Korea. What happened there?
Well, the trouble with Korea was obviously we were unprepared, and the landing at Incheon in mid-1950 turned the tide, but General of the Army Douglas MacArthur was bound and determined to race to the Yalu River, which divided North Korea from China, and would not listen to anybody who told him and warned him that the Chinese were going to intervene. And around Thanksgiving time in 1950, the Chinese made three probing attacks, after which they withdrew, MacArthur was told that the Chinese are serious. MacArthur ignored them.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, there were a million reasons why he was proven wrong in the form of a million Chinese that headed south.
Mm-hmm.
So had MacArthur stopped somewhere on the neck of the midway through North Korea and set up some kind of a peace, I think that that war would have been handled and it would have had a successful resolution rather than an armistice and a truce, which still is in force. And now Kim Jong-un and the North Koreans are proving themselves to be more than irritants. But it was MacArthur's arrogance and refusal to believe that the Chinese were really coming in that cost us victory in that war.
Let's go to Vietnam. You know, I have a lot of emotional ties to Vietnam, Harlan, in the sense that my best friend, you know, came back totally a different man, ended up committing suicide. And I was obviously in the thick of things in the in that particular era. And because of what I was told by one of my Far East professors, Far East history professors, I believe that the United States was doing the correct thing. At this moment in time, after doing a lot of reading, Harlan, that was not the correct thing to do.
Absolutely. If in my book there are four or five personal vignettes mm-hmm. about Vietnam, which really turned me against the war after I got back. And unfortunately, we deluded ourselves several ways. First, we really believed that we were going to defend liberty, the notion of John Kennedy saying that we'll pay any price and bear any burden. But democracy was not something that you could impose on people, especially in that part of the world. We failed to understand that there were three wars going on in Vietnam. There was a war in the South between the elite. There was a war in the South between the Viet Cong and the government. And there was a war between the North and South mm-hmm. that the North wanted to unify the country. Further, we believed because we had won World War II, we could kill our way to victory,
yeah.
that we were far superior. Well, we had body counts, and mm-hmm. we had Operation Phoenix, that was an assassination program, and we completely misunderstood the will and the dynamism of the North and their persistence in wanting to achieve their goals. And beyond that, we believed that by having gradual escalation, we ultimately would force the Vietnamese to concede. Well, all those assumptions were wrong. The tactics and operations that we had in terms of search and destroy were flawed, and we lost the war to the detriment of having 58,000 Americans killed mm-hmm. and a couple of million Vietnamese, largely because we were in the war for ideological reasons. We believed in monolithic communism, that Southeast Asia was going to fall like dominoes into the communist camp. It did not. It fell. It had leaders like Pol Pot, but there was certainly no communist conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
And that if we didn't win in Vietnam, the communists, the Chinese and the Soviet Union, would be able to use that to expand their influence. We didn't even understand that China and Russia had no love for each other, and in fact they were far apart ideologically as well as politically. So the absence of knowledge and understanding, using campaign slogans and ideology that simply was misplaced, lost us the war in Vietnam. And interestingly, many of the same reasons caused our failure in Iraq 40 years later.
Mm-hmm. Korea, Vietnam, let's go on to Beirut, Lebanon. You know, I've got some friends who were in Beirut at the time. It
sure.
was not a good time. That was a mistake, you're saying, on the part of the U.S. I would have to say that. Okay, I'm not going to say anything on this one, sir. Go ahead.
Well, what happened, it's not, you have to look not only at Beirut, but also Grenada.
Mm-hmm.
With Beirut in 1982, we decided we would put Marines in large numbers to try to impose some stability. You realize, of course, that the Israelis had invaded Lebanon in 1982, which led to the rise of Hezbollah and many of the problems we have today.
Mm-hmm.
And in October of 1983, a suicide bomber blew up the Marine barracks, killing 241 Marines. The Americans were forced to extricate themselves. It's a huge failure. At the same time, the Reagan administration was worried that in Grenada, some 200 American students studying at St. George's Medical School were in grave danger because of the coup had taken place. And worse, the Soviets were building a base, an air base in Grenada. And so just after the bombing of the Beirut barracks, a task force was assembled to go down to Grenada to save, quote, the students who were in jeopardy, as well as to prevent the Soviets from building an air base. Well, when the operational commander, Vice Admiral Joe Metcalf, got on the scene, he was being badgered by the White House saying, what about the students? What about the students? And Metcalf wired back, the students are in no jeopardy. They're not a problem. Now, you made this whole operation saving the students, and your operational commander says that's nonsense. And on top of that, who was building the airbase? It was a very conservative British company called Plessy PLC, whose family, the Clark family, were right-wing, and the reason they were using Cuban labor, because as good capitalist, it was low-cost, and one of the restrictions that Castro imposed was that I'm going to send laborers, I'm going to send guards so they don't defect. This was part of a 20-year program Britain had put in place to try to develop tourism in Grenada. And the night before the invasion, Maggie Thatcher called Ronald Reagan. Thatcher was very concerned because we were putting cruise missiles into Greenham Common in Britain. She was very much concerned that there might be an invasion, and Reagan lied to her, saying later, what can I tell her? The invasion was underway. That was a catastrophe. Now, you could say, so what? I mean, Grenada, not a big deal. But the same problems that we faced in Grenada or in Beirut were the same ones we faced in Vietnam and the same ones we would face in Iraq and in other places, such as in Benghazi when we attacked in 2011 without just cause to protect the citizens of Benghazi who we thought were under threat, managed to get Gaddafi killed, and Libya descended into civil war. Mm-hmm. And so the same mistakes we made were common throughout all those issues. Some were strategic catastrophes. Some, like Vietnam, were catastrophes without strategic consequences. And others, like Beirut or Grenada or Kosovo, really didn't have huge strategic consequences, but they still were operations that failed or ones in which we lost simply because the presidents did not have the right experience, judgment, or sufficient knowledge and understanding in applying military force. The characteristics and simple and symptoms remain the same regardless of generation of president, regardless of political party.
You know, one comment I want to make here, and then we're going to have to take a real quick commercial break. The comment I would have to make is that I find it very interesting that someone with your education, someone with your stature, someone who actually has published books on these topics feels the way that you do. And I have to say, I really value your input to this program because I feel the same way that you do, as do most of our listeners. And we're going to talk a little bit, as soon as we get back, guys, we're going to talk about Iran-Contra, Kuwait, Somalia, and Kosovo. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be right back with Dr. Harlan Ullman.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Dan Billett. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Ben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000. 7,000.
Attention, type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-510-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
KER Politics for this first weekend after Thanksgiving, chatting with Dr. Harlan Olin. This is a man who's been there, done that. You have to listen carefully to what he has to say. He doesn't have any axe to grind. He is somebody who's just incredibly bright and knows what's going on. Let's finish up kind of this first part of our discussion, Dr. Olin, if you would, with the Iran-Contra affair. That was a real mess.
It was unbelievable. The notion that we would rescue hostages from Iran by sending Iran anti-tank tow missiles that came from Israel, which we would replenish, and then using that money to mine and to support the Contras in Nicaragua, which was against U.S. law, was beyond comprehension. And had Ronald Reagan not been such a popular person, he probably would have been impeached and convicted.
Another great positive example proving Dr. Ron Paul's move on to Kuwait. That, I think, was a legitimate action.
Absolutely. It was done brilliantly. George H.W. Bush had to take action. And not only that, but with Jim Baker as Secretary of State, Dick Cheney as Secretary of Defense, and Colin Powell as the Chairman of Joint Chiefs, at that stage he had a team. The war was actually financed by other people, not by us. It was a huge one-sided military victory that restored the credibility of American force. Bush and his National Security Advisor, Brent Scowcroft, were smart enough to realize, don't go to Baghdad. And anybody who said at the time, we should, what happened after his son, George W. Bush, went to Baghdad in 2003, the Middle East exploded.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that George H.W. Bush certainly, through much of my professional lifetime, was an extraordinarily competent, able president. And what did he get for his reward? He was not even reelected. Tragic.
Let's move on to Somalia and Kosovo, and then let's talk about this thing in more of a macro sense.
Well, before we do that, Al, I want to make a point. As I was telling you, I was in over 150 operations and missions in Vietnam. I was there. I want to say about the American military, today the American military is professional. It's arguably the best military in the world. But when it is used wrongly, it will do the best that it can, but it cannot make up for strategic mistakes. For example, in Afghanistan or Iraq, the U.S. military by default tried to get engaged in nation building. That's not what it does. And so when we failed, this is not a fault of the military. I want to be very protective of that. It's just that you can use your military for certain purposes, and when you try to expand that, it's not going to work. It didn't work in Vietnam, and it certainly did not work in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, you talked about Kosovo and Somalia. In 1992, before he left office, George Bush had become more engaged in Somalia because of the humanitarian crisis. In 1993, when Bill Clinton became president, he was going to be more engaged in Somalia. Colin Powell was then the outgoing chairman of the Joint Chiefs, who requested through the Secretary of Defense, Les Aspin, the need to have C-130 gunships and M1 tanks to protect the American forces. Both Aspin and the president, and probably the president, didn't want to do that simply because they were afraid they were going to over-escalate. And what happened? Everybody has either heard of or seen Black Hawk Down, the movie in which thousands and thousands of Somalians ambushed Americans. 18 or 19 Americans were killed. We were forced to leave and extricate ourselves in large measure because the military was not giving the tools to protect themselves. In Kosovo, as you will remember, 1999, Slobodan Milosevic, Serb, was bombing and killing Kosovos, called ethnic cleansing, but let's make no mistake, it was murder. Mm-hmm. It was a time that Bill Clinton was being impeached. NATO's anniversary was being celebrated, 50th year, 1999. And so Clinton ordered the bombing of Kosovo, of Serbia, to try to force Milosevic to stand down. It took 78 days. 78 days, and by the way, we didn't accomplish a lot because in the after-action reports, the Serbs were very good at camouflaging and hiding their equipment. But the fact is, to force Slobodan Milosevic, a two-bit dictator, from standing down should have taken a day or two. We should have said, we're going in with forces, we're moving these forces, and you get out right now or you are finished. Fortunately, Clinton didn't want to do that. He didn't want to escalate for a variety of reasons. And so 78 days it took to depose somebody, or I should say to force someone to do something that should have taken a day or two at most.
Boy, I have to tell you, I'm really starting to agree with those people who are saying, you know, it's not the military. It basically is the country.
It's not.
It's the direction of those in power putting these people to do their job, which they do very effectively, in the wrong place. And there's really no question about that. We can go on.
And Al, it all resides at the Oval Office. I cannot emphasize that.
I want you to elaborate on that, Harlan, if you would.
We elect presidents.
Yep.
John Kennedy, as a PT boat skipper in the South Pacific, Kennedy got himself cut in half by a destroyer. I find that inconceivable. Anyway, Kennedy arrived. Charismatic. I actually met Jack Kennedy.
Sure.
Charming, so forth. He was not ready for prime time.
Mm-hmm.
And you move forward. Let's just take the more recent presidents. Bill Clinton, governor of Arkansas, no real experience. George W. Bush, governor of Texas, which was even a weaker position. Barack Obama, who had spent, you know, virtually no time in the Senate. And now Donald Trump with absolutely no experience in these issues. You can't expect somebody to pick up a running start to take on all the responsibilities, the most difficult job in the world. They were unprepared, unready, and there is no transition. Then they lack strategic judgment, in part because they relied on advisors who were close to them, who were good to getting them elected, but not necessarily good at governing. And finally, the knowledge and understanding of each of these individuals when it came to using military force was deficient. Mm-hmm. Nobody, for example, before September 11th, knew the difference between Sunni and Shia.
Isn't that the truth?
And so it goes on. And the fact is that when you take somebody who's inexperienced and you present them with these hugely, hugely difficult issues and huge responsibility of sending people into harm's way, when it's very narrow at the top and when you have a handful of advisors, many of whom are there for political reasons, mm-hmm. and not for strategic reasons, what do you expect? And the last third of my book goes into ways to deal with this issue by imposing a brains-based approach for strategic thinking that rests in the understanding this is the 21st century, not the 20th century, and we have to think about this in 21st century terms, that we have to have far more knowledge and understanding, and the focus of our policy has to be on influencing, affecting, and controlling the will and perception of friends, of adversaries, of enemies, and those who are neutral. We want to get them to do things we want or to stop doing things that we find that are harmful to us, and military force may or may not be required. The best example I can say, and I'm sorry to say this right now, of using this technique is Vladimir Putin. For virtually no money, he has interfered in U.S. elections. For virtually no expenditure, he's only put 5,000 forces into Syria. He has sustained Bashar al-Assad and now has increased his influence and access in the Middle East. We spent $2 trillion or more in Afghanistan and Iraq. And what have we got for all that money and all that blood and treasure? Of the 1.5 billion Muslims, I would say a huge percentage believe that we are a much greater threat to the world than is Russia or even the Islamic State.
Isn't that interesting? I want to close. We've got about a minute left here real quick, and I'm going to shut up. But, you know, I'm very tired, though, of our guys, our SEALs, our special ops, our troops, etc., being downgraded by American people. They have nothing to do with what's going on.
Well, I don't agree with that, really, Al. When I came back from Vietnam, I was at Harvard in graduate school. I used to wear my uniform in Harvard Square to pick a fight. I mean, we were literally spit on. Mm-hmm. I think today that the American military is the only institution in American life that's held in highest regard. Congress is in the teens. Donald Trump is in the mid-30s. But everybody, I think, regards the military genuinely and correctly with great respect. How long that will continue, I don't know. I think the greatest threat facing the Pentagon is that of a hollow force, which followed after the Vietnam War, because, quite frankly, the requirements the force has, the size of the force itself cannot carry them out, and the amount of money we're going to put into the Defense Department is not sufficient for the Defense Department to carry out the roles it's meant to. I'm not saying we should spend that much money. If we could, I think it would be a good idea. We're not. And so the Department of Defense is going to be eroded to death by a thousand cuts because it's being required to carry out far more responsibilities and requirements and tasks than it has the resources, money, and forces to do. And as a result, our readiness, the morale, the equipment, all these kinds of things are going to degrade. You see that, sadly, in the crash of a Navy airplane the other day, the collisions of the Navy destroyers, and all the training accidents that we're seeing in the other services. And so my great nightmare is that the military is going to be overstretched, underfunded, and that could lead to a hollow force. And if that happens, this is a disgrace for all Americans.
Dr. Harlan Ullman, I'm done. We're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us, Doc.
Al, my pleasure. Thank you very much indeed.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Are you one of the 70% of Americans that want to own your own business, afraid to leave the security of your current job to pursue your dreams? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current job schedule, creating an extra income for you and your family by joining his crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com.